Faisal Alam is the founder of Al-Fatiha, believed to be the world's first organization serving the needs of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered Muslims and their friends. In just 4 short years, the group has evolved from an internet listserv into an international organization with 9 chapters in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. They've also held 3 major queer Muslim gatherings in Washington, D.C., Boston, and London. The 4th such gathering will take place in San Francisco from June 21st to 24th. The theme of the conference is Reclaiming Our Faith and Reigniting Our Spirit, and the guest speakers will include activists and spiritual leaders from a variety of backgrounds. Among them, Stephen Murray, the co-editor of Islamic Homosexualities, the Reverend Troy Perry of the Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches, and Serena Khan of the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission. Workshops will focus on coming out issues, issues of lesbian and bisexual women, HIV/AIDS in the Muslim community, issues of transgender Muslims, what Islam says about homosexuality, non-Muslim partners of LGBT Muslims, human rights issues in Islamic countries, and immigration and asylum issues. About 100 people are expected to attend. All of this has come from Alam's personal search for support on the internet.
It all started in my own process of trying to figure out how I could deal with my sexuality, with my faith. I went through about 6 months of a very, very tumultuous time in my life when I came out, where in the morning I was Brother Faisal Alam, Secretary of the Islamic Society of Northeastern University, and then at night going out and clubbing and going out with my friends and basically being exposed to every aspect of like gay culture you could imagine. And it all came tumbling down in November of 96 when I just had a breakdown and I couldn't deal with the two clashing anymore. I was hospitalized for about 3 weeks. And when I was in the hospital, when I realized that so many people were thinking about me, and you know, I was getting phone calls from all over the world, and I have decided that I needed to figure this out. And I made a promise to myself at that time, and I made a promise to God also, that I would figure out how I can integrate these two in my life. So I went on the internet and did some searches on gay Muslim resources and couldn't find anything at all. So I emailed the owner of the Queer Arabs group and I said, how do I start my own list? And she gave me instructions and I basically started the email list and sent an announcement to Muslim student associations across the U.S. and Canada. And within minutes, people started subscribing to this list. I mean, there was such a need for this in our community. And for almost 6 months, actually, nobody on this list spoke because it was such a huge deal for us. I was literally the only one posting messages, everything I was feeling, everything I was just pouring out completely. Well, the natural outcome of this list and people finally starting to talk was we have to meet. So in March of 1998, there were 5 of us who came together in Washington, D.C., actually. And we spent 3 days in D.C. just exploring D.C. and hanging out and, like, going to dinner. And that was really powerful for us. Well, I went back to Boston, where I was at the time, and I said to myself that we need to do something a little bit more organized. What I pictured was a retreat where we could just come together and have more structured workshops talking about religion and sexuality, talking about coming out, our families, prayer, whatever, all the issues that were affecting us. And so what started off as the second American gathering became the first international retreat in Boston, Massachusetts in October of 1998, where we had 40 people who came from 5 different countries. And the theme of the retreat was Al-Fatiha, which was the beginning or the opening. We spent 3 days of like talking about all of these issues and literally from like 9 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night and then going out afterwards and like dancing all night long and then coming back in the morning and like struggling with these issues. But we decided at the end of the retreat that we needed to form an organization to address these issues. And of course, you know, since that time, it's just been phenomenal to see how much we've grown. Our conference in San Francisco will be our 4th major event that we've had.
So when you meet up with other queer Muslims at these gatherings around the world, what issues are they facing? Is it similar to your own struggle? You mentioned earlier that there was like a great diversity in the kinds of situations people were coming from. So how does it vary from place to place and from person to person?
The main issues are the same, but folks living in the West or living in diasporic countries will face different issues than people living in a Muslim country, such as dealing with issues like immigration and asylum. If you were living in a place like Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, your issue would be trying not to get caught by the police. So obviously, living in the United States or Canada, we're not dealing with police discrimination, we're not dealing with arrests. Yet, the common themes, I think, are about reclaiming our spirituality, trying to figure out how we can be gay and Muslim at the same time, talking about the Quran and what it says or does not say about homosexuality. How do we practice our faith as queer Muslims? Coming out is a huge, huge thing. The issues of marriage, the pressures of marriage, is a completely common theme around the world. And I think as we grow, we'll realize that the issues are extremely diverse. And you still have Muslim countries where there's really no word for being gay. Being gay is a very Western identity. Whereas if you're living in Pakistan or in India, being gay sometimes is not an issue, as long as it's not talked about. I mean, we know of underground gay cultures in Malaysia and Indonesia where people just turn a blind eye to it. Because if you don't throw it in their face and say, we want our rights, it's not an issue.
So how do you reconcile your homosexuality with your Muslim faith?
How do we reconcile our sexuality with our faith? You know, Islam is not as black and white as anyone makes it out to be. Islam is not a monolithic religion. We don't have a hierarchy. We're spread from more than 24 countries around the world who each practice the faith in a very different context. So our faith is extremely important to us as individuals. Our relationship with God is between us and our Creator and nobody else. And there's also a rising progressive movement within Islam that calls for rights of women, rights of religious minorities. So Al-Fatiha, or at least in my mind, the queer Muslim movement, sees itself as part of this progressive movement and this progressive wing of Islam, that religion itself is higher than any of us can imagine. Our relationship is much stronger than our sexuality. And our sexuality is only a part of who we are. You know, as queer Muslims, we're fighting 1,400 years of indoctrination. It's my estimation that 95% of folks, if not more, who have accepted their sexuality have left Islam. They don't see a reconciliation of the two. So when you start to create another relationship with your Creator, it's almost coming back to the faith and relearning it. It's this reestablishment of connection again, where we've been oppressed for so long that we've disconnected ourselves from the divine and from our spirituality and from our spiritual base. And it's about that reconnection. It's also looking at it through a queer context. I've learned so much more about social justice and the aspect of social justice in Islam as a queer man, and realizing that that's my struggle. My struggle is not to change the religion in any way, but to bring to light this tolerant and peaceful attitude that has been ignored to a great degree in dealing with homosexuality specifically, and to fight against the oppression. And it's almost twisting the table and saying, you know what, it's not about whether homosexuality is wrong or not, it's about the way that you, the mainstream community, is treating us. And it's about the oppression that we are facing as a community around the world.
What has the response to your group been from mainstream Muslim communities, and have you made any inroads in terms of educating them about the needs of queer Muslims?
The mainstream community's reaction, I think, has been, well, I'll give you one example of what has happened. There was an article that came out last year in April in the Washington Post. The title of the article was Gay Muslims Rejected But United. So one of the local mosques issued this press release calling for a press conference to clarify the issue of homosexuality in Islam. They were going to have 6 imams from mosques around D.C. to make statements on this issue. So I said to myself, we need to go to this. So we got 5 people, and we showed up at this press conference. It was right before Friday prayer. So each of the imams basically took turns making a statement on what they thought of this issue. Throughout this time, I'm sitting here like scribbling away like what I'm going to say, because I was shocked at what they were saying. So I got up and I said, Assalamu alaikum. I said, my name is Faisal Alam and I was the one in this article. And they said, welcome. And I said, thank you. And then I just like went off on them. No, I mean, I just basically said, I was like, look, we can argue about scripture all we want and we're not going to get anywhere. Because you've already decided where you stand and I've already decided where I stand on this issue. Let's not talk about what the Quran says. Let's talk about the real human issue here and the human suffering that's taking place. And I got really emotional at this point. I said to them, I said, every time a 15 or 16-year-old person calls me up in the middle of the night, crying on the phone, saying that I can't pray anymore because the imam in the mosque told me that the prayer of a homosexual is not accepted. And I can't commit suicide because it's a straight one-way ticket to hell. I said, you know what? I shouldn't have to deal with that. You're the leader of this community. You have to deal with that. And three of them had tears in their eyes. And I said, I'm not a community leader. I'm not an imam. I said, this is your fault. And I said to them, I said, on the day of judgment, and when we're being questioned by God about our life, I truly believe that God is not going to question me and say, Faisal, why did you stop praying? Or why did you stop going to the mosque? He's going to ask you, why did you force him out of the mosque? And I turned the tables around on them. And I said, you know what? It's not about what we're doing in bed. It's about the way you're treating us. And the fact that we have been forced out of our faith. And that's your fault, not mine. And at the end of that, I said to them, and I invite you to sit down with me and my community in dialogue. And they accepted. I was like petrified that they accepted. I was expecting you to say no, but it's about that human dialogue. We haven't sat down with them yet because we're not ready right now, and I don't think they're ready yet either. But that conversation started. And then there's a handful of imams, though, that have been really supportive of what we're doing. And that's been really amazing to see, that there are almost six imams now that we know of that are all straight, that have come to us and to our meetings. In London, we had an imam that was really amazing. He came to us and he presented his case. He said, look, this is what the mainstream community says. This is the Orthodox interpretation. But what I believe is that what you choose to do in the privacy of your home is between you and God and not anybody else. And then he said something really beautiful. He said, we're all petals of the same flower. And when a few of these petals are missing or have been removed, the flower is not beautiful anymore. And he said, I don't believe that what's happening to you is right and that it must be changed. So, you know, there are imams like that who have been really supportive. So it's exciting, the work that we're doing. It's a little nerve-wracking, but we continue to move on.
For more information on Al-Fatiha, email gaymuslims@yahoo.com or visit their website at www.alfatiha.net. That's www.al-fatiha.net. For This Way Out, I'm Heather Kitching.